This is the Truth Network.
Welcome to Man Talk, brought to you by TAWCMM, Talking and Walking Christian Men's Ministry, where they're devoted to breaking down the walls of race and denomination and challenging men to take their God-assigned role. Here's our hosts, Will Hardy and Roy Jones Jr., a black guy and a white guy.
And we just like to thank you again for joining us here on the program. And Roy, you know, we were talking earlier, and I was thumbing through some things on an article on Christian News Network. And this guy has been like all over the news within the past 2 months. And his name is Joshua Harris, and he was a pastor. But then he just simply walked away from the faith. He just all of a sudden decided to get up and say, throw in the faith hat and quit.
Yeah, that really is odd, Will. I'm not quite sure why anyone would turn their back in totality. I understand that you go through seasons of life, and you know that you have those high moments and you have those low moments, but just to totally walk away really is a shock, especially given his success and his positioning early on in his career in support of the gospel.
And, you know, he was pastor of Covenant Life Church in Gaithersburg, Maryland, if I pronounced that correctly. But in this article, and of course, he's the author of several books. One is I Kiss Dating Goodbye, and he simply says that when he separated from his wife, he said that I no longer identify as a Christian. And you know, in this age that we're living in now of identification and redefining gender, it's surprising to me that he would use some of this terminology.
Yeah, I mean, to say I no longer identify as a Christian makes you question, is he saying I'm walking away from my Christianity in totality? Or is he just saying I'm not sure where I'm at as it relates to my walk with Christ anymore? You know, because it's not very clear. I no longer identify as a Christian in his wording. And I don't know if that had something to do with his separation with his wife, that's public knowledge. And mm-hmm. I'm just not quite sure what the impact is. But it's still very perplexing why someone would say that after spending so many years walking with Christ.
Exactly. And, you know, I think it begs further question and examination, because I think the word Christian has been sort of like diluted down in today's society too. You know, we have all these definitions of things, and I think Christian is really no different. So we have it being defined differently. And as a result, depending on who you're talking to, they may receive it differently than the way that you're saying Christian in the definition in which you're presenting it to them.
Well, that's a great point. Oftentimes in today's society, when people talk about being a Christian, they refer to going to church on a regular basis. So therefore they identify as being a Christian. Mm-hmm. But I think that's why many people in today's time have shifted to be saying, using the phrase, I'm a follower of Christ, or mm-hmm. a Christ follower. Mm-hmm. So that denotes and makes it very clear that they are following Christ. It's not a social box being checked by being attending church on Sunday.
Exactly. And I like the term, you know, representative of the kingdom.
There you go.
You know, I like that term because...
Well, you're a great representative, by the way, Will. So.
And thank you. I'll give you that $10 after the show is over. But, you know, when we talk about someone like this walking away, you know, he says in his article, and again, I'm quoting, this article was taken out of, again, the Christian News Network, and he says he has a massive shift in regards to my faith in Jesus.
Again, I don't understand that.
Yeah.
I just do not understand that. You know, we all have trials and tribulations in our life. You know, Scripture tells us that, and James speaks to it in the first chapter about consider it great joy. So I can't imagine what in an individual's life would be so much of a paradigm shift in what's happened to them or what they believe that they would make that statement. I mean, just, you know, a massive shift in my regard, faith in Jesus. I mean, that's just, it perplexes me.
You know, because when a person says something like this, of course, we know that there's always a deeper meaning, you know, behind what they're trying to say. But when you talk about falling away from the faith, I think, you know, someone might be asking the question, okay, if a person who has written all these many books and has pastored a large congregation, mega church to be exact, and they fall away, then what hope is it for me to maintain my Christianity or my faith in Jesus if indeed I had it to begin with?
Well, I mean, the key point there is do not put your eyes on man or woman, and man in the context of humans, because if you do, they're going to let you down. So in this particular quote he's made about making the massive shift in regard to faith in Jesus, he doesn't say he's walking away from it, but it certainly, it makes you wonder where he's going when you say massive shift. And then in the next quote part of it, he said that some people have told him that there's a different way to practice faith and that he wants to remain open to this, but added, I'm not there now.
You know, and well, again, you know, that can go to many areas, but when I see this different way to practice faith, what faith, you know? So if you were practicing Christianity, and let's just say that's what he was doing, he was practicing Christianity, and which you shouldn't be. You should be a follower of Jesus Christ and doing those things that Christ said,
right,
so that we could disciple people and so we can make disciples and go out and fulfill, you know, the gospel message.
That's right.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So, but when he says this, you know, about remaining open to some type of different way to practice faith, you have to ask your question, what kind of faith now do you want to practice? And if this faith that you call it, some other religion other than Jesus Christ, or are you talking about practicing the faith, putting your faith in Jesus Christ and in practicing those things he said in a different way? And I don't think it's the latter. It's probably the former.
Yeah. And it leads itself for a lot of speculation, right? Mm-hmm. There's just no way to know exactly from this article where he's going or what he's going to be doing. All we can do is wait and see what the next steps he takes will be. But it's certainly made for a great conversation piece tonight, and especially as we're talking about men and why they hate going to church, why they're not involved properly in their families, as we're going to get to a little bit later in the show with an article that a lady wrote in response to some of this. Is quite amazing to see the anger in this woman as a result of the man's behavior under the auspices of following Christ, or at least being a Christian, we'll say, based on the if everything holds true that she's put in her letter, then it's he had a ways to go as far as in his discipleship. He may have been a convert, but may not have been in his discipleship mode, as we've talked about in the past.
Exactly. So, you know, so he says he's lived in repentance. And again, I'm coming back to the article and I'm quoting. He said, I have lived in repentance for the past several years, repenting of my self-righteousness, my fear-based approach to life, the teaching of my books, my views of women in church, my approach to parenting, to name a few. So if we go back and we look at this, and he says repenting of self-righteousness. So were the books, I guess my question to him would be, were the books you wrote, you were basing that on a self-righteous approach that you came up with, or were you truly teaching those things from the Word of God that people should not operate in self-righteousness?
Well, you know, since we just chose to speak on this on this show, I have not had an opportunity to read the books, mm-hmm. so I can't speak to that, and that's a great question,
mm-hmm.
an excellent question. When he talks about the self-righteous piece, then you have to think he's identified that maybe more of that was coming from his own opinions mm-hmm. versus maybe being based biblically. But I can't speak to that, but that would certainly be what you would assume, or at least go down the line of thinking based on his commentary.
Exactly. Because I think a lot of what he said, you know, it's truly off base when it comes to the things that he said he taught about, and now the things that he's repenting of. And God is very clear in his word. You know, he's very clear when sin is sin.
Right.
And, you know, we want to call sin sin and not try to make sin soften so that we can draw people into the church or draw them closer to us. We have to call sin what it is. We have to be bold enough to say, you know, this sin that you're engaged in is something that God abhors. And if he does abhor it, then we should also.
Yeah. And sin, to your point, sin is sin. So it doesn't matter if you're committing adultery, if you're stealing, if you're lying, or any number of things that we've all gone through and all the issues in the media today. It doesn't matter if you're choosing a path of sinful behavior, which is out of the will of God. And we know we all struggle. We all break the law. We all, in terms of God's law, we all have fallen short. It's just by the grace of God and Jesus' blood that we are saved through that, if we've accepted him into our lives. So it's important, as we're talking through this, that we're by no means being judgmental. We're just curious as to what this has caused this man to turn away from the kingdom.
Exactly. Because we know the truth behind what God said in reference to some of these things. And so all we're doing is communicating that truth. But by no means, as you stated, we are out judging anybody, because we are all subject to still sin.
Exactly.
You know, if we don't crucify our old man every day.
Yeah, which goes back to becoming the disciple.
That's right.
Yeah, we've got, in order to become a disciple, we've got to crucify the old man and live out the life that he intends for us to live out.
That's right. Because he wants to resurrect. He wants to resurrect himself on a daily basis. And so after we come back from the break, we're going to continue to talk about this guy, Joshua Harris, and some of the things that he has simply turned his back on in reference to Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Stay with us for part two.
We'll be back with you shortly.
TAWCMM would love to have you join their community of men for breakfast every first and third Friday of every month. They have Bible discussions and fellowship after the best breakfast in town. The meeting location is at their gracious host church, First Christian Church in Kernersville, 1130 North Main Street in Kernersville. They have a hard start at 7 o'clock and a hard stop at 8 o'clock. First-time visitors eat for free. Join your hosts, Will Hardy and Roy Jones Jr., a black guy and a white guy. Affordable Chiropractic in High Point. As you might tell from their name, Affordable Chiropractic. Even for the cash patient. Dr. Jeff Fricke has been caring for patients in High Point for 34 years. Physical therapy such as ultrasound and spinal decompression for disc conditions such as herniation. Comprehensive care for auto accident injury patients with no out-of-pocket expense. Remember, Affordable Chiropractic on Lexington Road in High Point. Call 336-885-1987.
Welcome back to Man Talk, and we just thank everyone for listening. At this point, we are talking about Joshua Harris, pastor of Covenant Life Church, who simply decided after his divorce or separation from his wife, an ultimate divorce, that he said that they would remain friends, and he has simply walked away from what he terms Christianity. And we're reading an article that was written in Christian News Network, on, and it was published on 7/26/19. And so Joshua, he goes on to say that in his article that I can't join you in your mourning. I don't view this moment negatively. So he's saying, I'm not looking at what I've done as a negative thing. And again, I think that leaves more questions than answers.
It does. This was in response to, I think quite a few of his friends said, we'll be praying for you. And they were saddened by his decisions. And therefore, he was trying to make light of it, that he did not couldn't join him in the mourning or the feelings they were having about his departure.
Okay. And see, man, this that Joshua Harris is going through, it didn't happen overnight. So we just want to make that point, that it didn't happen overnight. This is something that more than likely some type of seed was planted. And it was just over a period of time, because no man wakes up, Roy. I mean, he just don't wake up and say, hey, today I'm going to separate myself from my wife and leave the church and go off and, you know, claim to be a non-Christian.
No, they don't. I mean, that's Satan's got that battle started long before that day that this decision was made. You're exactly right, Will. And I think that's what's important for all of us to recognize, is that these things, you need to guard your heart, guard your mind. To your point, the seed get planted and you think, well, I'm okay, I can process this and I can play around in this area, whatever the area may be, back to the conversation earlier about sins. Mm-hmm. And that's why you've got to be extremely cautious, right?
Exactly.
I mean, Satan only needs just a little bit of a foothold, and that could be in that seed plant in your mind, and then all the next thing you know, you're going down a path and a trail that you never thought you would ever be on.
You know, and when he says, he and his wife will remain friends, you know, and the day following their separation announcement, then of course he had an interview. And then he says on his views on romantic relationship and dating have changed, in which he acknowledged that he is tempted because of his very conservative upbringing, which he repudiated. So that again leaves a big question mark. How were you tempted? You know, in what way were you tempted? Now, we could say temptation is temptation in any form, but again, it's how you're tempted and what you submitted to in reference to that temptation.
Right.
I think will bring you further down the line of exactly what led to all of what we're reading about in this particular article.
Yeah, and when in the end of that statement that you just read, Will, is also to just throw his faith out. Mm-hmm. So even the author was just assuming he's throwing his faith out, right, based on the wording there.
Yes.
And you know, and again, we're talking about the author of I Kissed Dating Goodbye, which is a very popular book, I think, back in the 90s or 2000. I think it may even still be reasonably popular in young Christians' lives, because it's all about, you know, dating, and from what I understand, and not just dating for the sake of dating, being selective mm-hmm. about who you date and that sort of thing. So,
you know, and when you talk about his conservative upbringing, I don't know exactly what denomination he was involved with, but I think denominationalism surely plays a part in one's views and, you know, the associated doctrine that leads one down a particular path in reference to that denomination. So, you know, denominationalism is, I think, in and of itself, depending on what is taught, can be a dangerous thing.
Well, you know, that's the heart of our mission, right? It's breaking down the walls of race and denomination so that we don't have to worry about those barriers between our brothers. Because we, you and I, Will, have talked about this many times. Why are there so many churches in the small town USA? There'd be half a dozen churches in small town USA. I mean, you could go to any small town in America, and there's 5, 6, 7, 8 churches.
Exactly.
And most of which are within a 2-iron or 3-iron of each other, if not closer. And I'm not a big golfer, but I thought you'd appreciate the analogy there. So, but it just makes no sense when we get wrapped up in these types of things. And back to his conservative upbringing, you never know what that means. Probably it was biblically based mm-hmm. standards and principles. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Satan just gets back to the seed plant. Who mm-hmm. knows how this happened? He may realize that he never had an opportunity to date a lot of different girls and ladies, and maybe that's where he's decided that's what he wants to pursue. and he's walked away from his marriage and walked away from his church because he's been convinced of a lie,
mm-hmm.
potentially.
Exactly. So. Exactly. And in this article, toward the end of it, there was an area where one could blog, you know, and send in comments. So someone was blogging, and then, you know, how you get people just start writing. And so there was an anonymous person who wrote.
A lady, by
yes,
the way.
It was yes,
a lady, yeah.
Who wrote a response in reference to the subject of, you know, why she was walking away from the church.
Right. And it sounds like her husband was a major contributor to the reason she walked away.
He was the major contributor.
Yeah.
I mean, he was trying to burn the candle from both ends and sow his wild oats and, you know, do all the things, obviously, that he was doing in past life. Because she talks about in this article, she said he claimed to be a Christian, but he did not attend church, much less pay a tithe.
Mm. And what's interesting, said he did not work a single day during their 10-year marriage, and which goes to slothfulness. You
mm-hmm.
know, and it's just, of course, if she put up with that for 10 years, that's she must be quite a lady just to endured that, having a husband who never worked a day in 10 years. And from the rest of the story, it sounds like there was, she's had a very, very tough life as a result of his laziness. And to hear her describe it again, we only hearing her side of this, but if all this holds true,
mm-hmm.
then it certainly gives evidence to why gives evidence to why she's walking away or doing what she's, the choice she's making, what she's doing. So,
and you know, things like this, when it happens, I think again, there's a lot of detail, you know, that goes along with her response here,
right?
You know, that we don't have privy to, but she pretty much laid it out as to the reason why, you know, she believes that she's walking away from the church.
Right. But what's really sad about this, Will, and I'm sure you've already picked up on this, but is that she didn't mention that anyone was coming alongside of her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where we go back to the fellowship and the need for accountability, with the need for a support network with, you know, men and women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and we've talked about men because obviously this is a program for men, but we also share with the fact that women need it. They need a support network, an accountability group. And that could be three or four ladies that they meet with on a regular basis, and they pursue God and Bible study and prayer. And sometimes just hanging out together and talking about the things that are going rough in their life, you know, and that's the whole point. You've got a support network there. And nowhere in here does she mention that. It's almost like she was on her own through this journey, raising the children. The husband
mm-hmm.
was sitting off to the sidelines and doing things that shouldn't have been going on. Outside of marriage, much less within marriage, based on biblical principles. And so I think that's something we need to stress to our men out there and to any ladies that might be listening. Make sure you've got yourself associated with some folks that have got your back.
Who, exactly.
You know, when you fall, they're there to pick you up. They're there to support you. They're there to pray for you. They're there to provide whatever you need, whether it's material things or help you get material things if you're in a really bad situation. And also for men and women. I mean, that goes on both sides. And
mm-hmm.
we really, really want to encourage you to do that. If you're not a part of that, get you a group of folks that you can count on.
You know, because anytime when you're talking about relationship, you can't talk simply about men, even though this is a man's show, you got to talk about women too, because the relationship is a man and a woman.
Right.
So invariably, we're going to be talking about women as well. But the emphasis, what we're doing is we're taking that emphasis of where the man should be and his role within that relationship.
Right, as the servant to the family and to the wife.
Exactly. So all of the things that she quoted, again, in her response, again, if they hold true, because, again, we only see one side of the story, she says that he cheated on her and she was working and she paid off all of the bills and he slept with dozens of women. So, man, if this is you and you have a struggle with sexuality, then you need to come to grips to understand that there is simply a matter of time before, you know, these things, you know, they come up on you and you realize, hey, you know, my secret has been, it's been put out.
And it needs to be put out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the other thing. Typically when these types of things are going on, the exposure is will end it. Once the light shine on the darkness, then that will usually end these types of things. Because then the excitement goes away, then reality sets in. I've got to deal with a divorce, or I've got to deal with reconciling with my wife now, if she'll even have me back,
mm-hmm.
all those sorts of things. So, yeah, you're exactly right, Will. It's one of those things that we should never get ourselves in the middle of. But it goes back to a support network. You got the support network, you don't lose track of what's important in your life and what you've got to be doing. And that's following Christ, walking it out as a disciple, and helping to lead others to the kingdom.
1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. Walk in the light as he is in the light, and that you may have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Men, darkness is simply the absence of light. So if you are in darkness, you need to come to the light. Come to the light of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And let the light shine on you. Thank you for listening again to another episode of Man Talk Radio. I'm Will Hardy.
Roy Jones Jr.
And we thank you until next time.
As we wrap up today's show, be assured that TAWCMM, Talking and Walking Christian Men's Ministry, is building a community of men that are Christ followers with a desire to be servant leaders in their homes, communities, churches, and work environments. Check out our website for upcoming events and regularly scheduled meetings. Drop us a note for topics that you would like to have us visit in the future. Thank you for joining us on Man Talk today. Visit us at www.tawcmm.com. Men walking the talk.
This is the Truth Network.